Okay, so we're here with Willa and Charlotte. It is the 21st of August, and we have come to the end of the road of this particular part of this trip. And so we thought it would be good to talk about what things look like now. So refresh our memory. How long have you guys actually been in China now?
We got to China, we flew from the States July 17th, so a little bit over a month.
Okay, so in a little bit over a month, if I can recap for our audience, tell me if I got anything wrong. Before you left, you had found your foster family, Willa. Is that correct? That's even before you left the United States. You got to China. Both of you wound up media sensations, from what I can tell. And then found, with the help of a journalist, who I got to meet one day, probably your birth parents, Charlotte. You've got one positive DNA test, and you're going to follow up with a confirmation. So my first question is, let's talk about what your expectations were going into this trip and what has been the most surprising for each of you.
Okay. So hi everyone, this is Charlotte. And I guess my expectations changed over time, but the trip was definitely different from my initial expectations when we were first planning the trip back in March. I think it was just generally, what was it, like a route searching trip in the most general sense. I thought we were going to go back to both of our hometowns and maybe do a little bit of tourism, put a couple of posters up, and just sort of experience life there. But it was definitely very different than that.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely thought we were just going to be traveling at first. And then even after my foster family contacted me that week leading up to leaving, I thought, like, we would meet them, maybe have some meals, like, and, you know, definitely spend some time, but I did not expect them to, like, sweep us off to the mountains on vacation and, like, plan every second for us, which is essentially what happened. We were with them, like, from
24/7.
Yeah,
like no joke.
Yeah.
So, and in both your cases, the families, you know, it's been interesting to see, and not at all surprising, how meaningful it is for them. So this is not an informal thing that's happened to them in their lives, right? They're giving you parties. I mean, we have this picture of you, Charlotte, surrounded by, I mean, I don't know how many people are in that. Is that like 40 people? Are those people all ostensibly relatives? So I'm sure that, to some extent, the sort of the way in which you've been welcomed, also with a lot of formality and fanfare, that what was that like? How did that feel?
Yeah, it was kind of overwhelming because I wasn't expecting so many people. I think we talked about that before, but I think our birthday parties had about the same amount of people, and It was really cool to see everyone so excited, but I definitely didn't necessarily, I think, feel as excited just because I was like, I don't know any of you, and they all remembered me. But I think it was cool that everyone was so welcoming and excited. I think I was a little prepared for people, you know, just be like, this is strange, like, this is awkward, like, why are you back? But it was more of like a giant celebration in all senses.
That was true for you too, Charlotte?
Yeah, no, we were talking last night. I think we were both expecting a little bit more awareness And like not really knowing what to do with like either like a daughter, like a foster daughter who has just sort of come out of the blue 20 years later from way across the world. but I'm not, yeah, and then we were talking about, I mean, we don't, I don't know, Will maybe knows a couple more people who have been, who have found birth parents or foster parents back in China, but I really don't know too many. And I don't know whether it's like, is it a normal thing or is it like these two families that we've found just happen to be like really, really happy about it?
I don't actually know anyone personally. I think I connected with people after we like reached out on Facebook groups and they told me their experiences a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I had no idea what to expect as far as like the in-person meeting. Mm-hmm. I guess like I've seen like some, I guess maybe the only like reunion was on Somewhere Between. Like,
right.
So there's very few documented, I guess. We were realizing that, yeah, and so many people showed up, and that was really not expected.
Well, I think also what's interesting is that the ones that have happened, you tend to hear about the sort of the moment of reunion, but then the story stops. And we don't get much information about what happens afterwards. So you've had this, this is huge. This, you've met these people. You have filled in gaps, important gaps in the early part of your lives. Then what? I mean, have you talked much or had any chance to talk about what will happen moving forward? What kind of, did they give you any sense, either family, of what their hopes are in terms of contact? And do you feel like those, how you look at it and how they regard it, are line up with each other or are maybe a little bit different?
For me, my foster family definitely has expressed that they want to stay in touch. They're like, you should learn Chinese, you should come back and visit, you should bring your family, and
we've had a little interruption in our Skype connection, so here we go. We're gonna try and get each other back, because I'm talking to the girls from China. Hello? So we're going to try again. We're on Skype. So please bear with us as we try to get our connection back. Hi there. Okay, good. Hey, it's just part of the, it's part of the deal, right? Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about, your foster family wants you to bring your family back, wants you to study Chinese. They've got plans. How about you, Charlotte? What were you getting in terms of their hopes or expectations?
That's so interesting. I hadn't really thought about it before, but I guess I honestly think they think of me as part of their family now, that they've found again. That was, like, lost for 20 years, but now, like, they're back. So, I don't know. They've added me to, like, their family group on WeChat, and then I'm in, like, a private group with, like, just the immediate family. And they're like, you need to come back for Chinese New Year's and stuff, and I guess that's a little bit different than what, I mean, I think it's really, really nice, and they're also, like, inviting me back right now. They think I can come back just, like, really easily, and just, like, hang out with them for a couple more weeks, which is really sweet, and I think they mean really well, and they just, like, you know, I mean, want to spend more time, but it's a little bit different than maybe what I was imagining, although I do think I want to go back and visit maybe with my parents, and if my sister wants to come, they've been welcoming her too, but I guess I was picturing more like, you know, I would meet them, I would fill in some gaps, like, we would see each other, it was, like, doing well, but, like, really, we're kind of leading separate lives now, so, like, I would keep in touch, but maybe, I mean, my home is still America, I don't know, it's interesting how welcoming, is it still working?
I can hear you.
Okay, it's interesting how easily they've kind of welcomed me back, even though I'm kind of an entire and total stranger to them, and I haven't been raised by them. So that's an interesting question that I hadn't thought about before.
So it's like, so really for you, it's kind of like, oh, well, don't you, first of all, you're going to be in China till December. So they, I can see how they're probably thinking like, oh, go get that work thing done and then come over and hang out with us, right?
Yeah.
And you speak Chinese, so they can, they probably, it'll be easier in a way to WeChat and keep up. What has it been like? Can I ask you both? What it's been like with your families here in the U.S. How is it? I will be completely honest with you. As an adoptive mother of a 10-year-old, I would have the most mixed feelings. I would be thrilled. And I would also, there's a little part of me that would feel, I'm embarrassed to say there's a little part of me that would also feel a little bit scared. Even though I know intellectually that nothing about this experience would pull my daughter away from me, I think it's natural that there's a little tension, you know, or feeling sometime for the adoptive parents. And I don't know, maybe your parents have exhibited none of that. But I just wonder what it's been like, or if you've had much ability to talk with them about this. I know it's just breaking very fast, so you need time to process it all together.
Right, okay, I can go first. Definitely. I can't totally speak to her feelings, because I haven't talked too much with her, but I do think that that's definitely, something, the sort of mixed feelings are something that she's experiencing. I'm talking about my mom, Brenda, and she's an adoptee too, so I think she was telling me that she was totally, you know, really, really supportive. She understood the desire to search for one's birth parents and how that didn't, you know, reflect anything about how much, you know, you loved your, you know, your family. But I think that now that, like, something's actually happened, she did say that, like, wow, I mean, she never, like, expected that, like, I would actually find something. So there is a part of her that's feeling like, you know, I guess it's like sort of, yeah, you're right, you're like kind of an irrational part, but you can't sort of help it, that's feeling like scared, like, will I go back and live with them? Like, no, definitely. I know. My life is in America, and I love my family, but I think it's just, it can't kind of be helped. And I understand.
Yeah. I don't think I've had that conversation my family was really excited for me, and I almost think, like, in the years, like, coming up to this, they were more interested in, like, the information or, like, finding people than I was. But I think maybe the only hard part is that they wish that they could have experienced it as well, or, you know, like, maybe I could do better at explaining what happened or, like, what's happened or who I met, but it's kind of, Charlotte and I, like, how are we going to tell people about this? Like, there's really no way. There's just so many things that happened. But,
I can hear you. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's working great.
What was I saying? Yeah, I think maybe one thing that I'll ask them about is how they felt when they saw the, like, document that said, like, they wanted to adopt her. Mm-hmm. I think that was very concrete for them, whereas before it was just, you know, these people that were in her life, but, you know, not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily, like, we didn't know how long, we didn't know, like, we didn't know details, you know?
Did that, I'm wondering if it surprised you. I was very, although intellectually I knew this, I understood this, that there have been many cases where families or first families, foster families, wanted to raise children and were prevented from doing it. But there was something about seeing that indictment translated and seeing the really concrete proof of, you know, the government reaching in like that. I wonder, what was that like for you? Did that surprise you? Or is just so much happening that it's hard to take in?
Well, I think it solidified for me, you know, that, like, I really could believe everything that they were telling me. Because at first, you know, I was wary of, like, maybe they just want me to, like, feel like they wanted me, or, like, maybe, you know, they're trying to tell the story that matches with, you know, what the Social Welfare Institute tells. But, like, the actual moment of seeing it was kind of chaotic. Like, we were trying to get ready to leave. We were videoing them, interviewing them. And, like, of course, didn't know what they were saying. So when they brought the documents, like, I was a little confused. But I was like, okay, that's really cool. Like, these are documents from legitimately 20 years ago that she saved. So they must be important. And then it's interesting that she was like, I wasn't going to show you these, but you can have a copy of them. So, and then when I saw the translation, I think I was like, oh, wow, like, this was pretty serious. But I didn't realize that, like, the story that she'd been telling me, like, it definitely matched. And she had been saying, like, we wanted to adopt you. You never lived in the Social Welfare Institute. But I think, like, it just kind of really solidified it, since it was as you're leaving and it was a formal document.
And Charlotte, you mentioned in your post that you were able to meet the passerby. Oh, we lost our Skype connection again. So bear with, please. Hi there. Hi.
Hello?
Hi. How's that?
Good. Yeah, can you hear us?
I can. Speak a little more. Let me make sure I got you loud enough.
Okay.
Perfect.
Did you get, what did you last catch?
Okay, I caught everything that you were saying, Will, about what the documents meant for you, that in some way they gave you an assurance, in a sense, that what your foster parents, who, let's face it, you know, were strangers to you until a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that what they were telling you was in fact true. And it helped you be able to kind of move forward in your getting to know them and feeling comfortable with the information they were giving you. And then I was asking Charlotte that she had been able to talk to the passerby who found her, and I was interested in that how that came to be and what that conversation was like.
Sure, definitely. I'm sorry if I could go back and add, I mean, I think on the question of, like, my parents and my family, and I think Willow would probably agree with me. I think on the whole, I mean, they've been just so thrilled and so happy for us. And we're really happy and lucky that they kind of, like, were really supportive of this whole trip and this whole kind of, like, journey. Because it's definitely been, like, kind of, you know, it's ups and downs, and it's really great to have a support system that, like, really wants to know what's happening and that's really supportive of us. But, yeah, the question of the passerby. So I was at the Social Welfare Institute, and I can't totally, let's see, I think, so we were going over the documents that I had, so the note.
You had just seen the note.
Yeah, I had just seen the note that was found with me that had my birthday written on it. And I think I was asking the... well, I was asking both my birth parents who were there, or the potential birth parents who were there, and the Social Welfare Institute, whether they had any information on the circumstances of my finding, like, what was I wearing, like, was it morning or night, like, what was I left with, that sort of thing. And I think that one of the social welfare directors was just like, oh, actually, I just happened to have heard from my friend that she was the one who found you. I was like, okay. and she was like, so do you want to give her a call? Or should we get her here? They firstly tried to get her in person, but she couldn't come in person. So I just gave her a phone call. It was very odd.
Did you believe it fully?
I mean, it was kind of hard to believe because it just came out of nowhere. And I guess, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's true. I don't see any reason why. Unless she just wanted, like, media attention, why she would just, like, totally make it up. But then I don't see what she would kind of get out of just fabricating a random story. I don't know.
I believe it. I think if they had said it was the person that the intermediary had left you, then I wouldn't have believed it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I believe
that. Yeah, I mean, that was interesting, too. And that just came out of nowhere. And it was, like, sort of like a... It was a brief moment, and then I had just talked to her for, like, 2 minutes, and then she also said, like, yeah, if she didn't also have a daughter, then she would have kept me. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow. So the social welfare director's friend is the passerby. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
connections are a big thing, so everyone knows someone who knows someone.
It reminds me of those old, like, old-fashioned, like, British parlor mysteries where it's like, oh, Mr. Jones is the murderer, and they pull him out of the closet. Oh, it's the butler. So you were able to really piece together that part of it, not only, you know, you're this couple who appear to be your birth family, but also this intermediate step. I wonder for both of you too, I wanted to be sure that we talked a little bit about the media attention, because it was so pronounced right from the beginning, and also because it was so central in your story, particularly Charlotte, in being able to help you actually find this family. And I know it was overwhelming. How do you both regard it? Is it fair to ask you what the general attitude was, whether you think the media attention signifies something about how China, this is a big general question, but how people in China might regard returning adoptees? Because it seemed to me like it was like the whole, from where I sat, it felt like the whole country just swung open the doors and was throwing you parties all the time. So I wonder what the media attention felt like, how you thought through navigating it. And then if we could sort of talk a little bit about logistically, from what you've experienced, do you have any advice or thoughts for other adoptees about how to manage it if they find themselves in the same situation? Because I have, of course, your story is out there, and, you know, I can see people thinking, oh, great, I'm going to put my poster on WeChat, and then bingo.
Right.
I wonder if you've, you know, given that much thought.
think that the media attention can be a little bit intimidating in a way, especially before we left. We were like, are we going to show up and be – not that we thought that, like – we really didn't know how far it had spread, because it did make it to both sides of the country before we had left. But I didn't actually speak with any reporters myself. I just ended up in the newspaper. But I had offers through a connection that had a connection in my province, and she was like, we can get you on TV. And I don't know if it would have helped me. I think that the media is really helpful in spreading the word, but only maybe to specific populations. And I think Charlotte's case is unique in that they were willing to go investigate for her. But as far as like their attitude, I think that it's a very like catching story, and people are really happy that we've come back to China and that our parents have allowed us to come back to China. And you know, and people were telling me like, this is your roots, this is where you're from. And so I think, you know, they definitely wanted to like teach us about being Chinese in a way.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered the question, but
it does.
I think Charlotte also has a lot of insight into maybe this was my take, that, you know, maybe the reporters wanted a story in a way, like it was kind of more about their agenda. Not that they weren't, you know, excited about what was happening, but when we were, you know, there and they were staging things in the hotel, they were very adamant about, like, this is how we want this to look.
It was actually kind of funny. They're like, yeah, they were, it was really like a play. Like, they were having my the potential birth father, like, bring in a cake, and he starts like running in the room with the cake, and they were like, no, go back. You need to walk a little bit slower. You can't be running around with the cake.
So this is very different than what you would find in the United States, by the way. You know, I mean, any remotely professional journalist would not be setting up the entire scene. It's just a different journalistic culture. Like, nobody would be making your dad like pose with the cake and retake the shot. I hope. So.
Yeah, no, I have a lot. I don't think I have any insights on the media. I don't understand it either, but I do have definitely a lot to say about it. And I guess, wait, what was the first initial question? Was like, yeah, I mean, I think I've said before that I've heard a lot of different adoptees kind of getting on the media, but I guess, I don't know, even though I've heard about it, I didn't think it would actually happen to us. So it was amazing, like, the amount of, like, and the speed at which we were contacted by, like, a bajillion, especially, I guess, me, because I could speak Chinese, and it was sent through my Sina Weibo, the kind of microblogging platform. So I was contacted by, like, a lot of journalists, and I think I was surprised at the amount of interest. And I guess, I mean, like, one way that I see it is part of, like, a larger Chinese interest in, like, relative, like, searching for people, searching, like, for family members and kind of, like, reunions. Like, it's a whole interest topic called, like, Xunxian, like, searching for your relatives. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it has something to do with the kind of, like, maybe the importance of, like, of family. I know that that sounds kind of, like, cliche, but I do think that there's something to kind of, like, having your full family, like, if there's somebody out there, you kind of, like, want to bring them back into your circle. And I think there's real, like, interest in, like, in such a large country, being able to, like, find, like, a needle out of the haystack kind of thing. And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, so I think the attitude towards Chinese adoptees returning home into their family, I think Willow touched, like, the returning, like, home thing, the kind of, like, maybe national and cultural roots. But I also think there's kind of like a family root component of it. I think people find it really touching that, like, adoptees are, like, you know, coming back. And let's see, what else is it?
I think that, you know, I think that it's not that hard to get on the media in China. I know that I've heard a lot of other adoptees mm-hmm. also have been on the media, and there's, like, a national TV show that someone's told me mm-hmm. about, but I think it's more of, like, who sees it, and you can't really control, like, regardless of whether you make it onto, you know, some channel, it's whether it's effective is kind of who sees it, and you can't really, there's no way to, you know, see how that, or, like, control who sees
it. Right, I mean, Mila and I were talking about, I mean, like, honestly, probably potential birth parents will not see this information because yeah. many of them would be in the countryside. And they were saying, like, you know, even my birth parents were saying, like, if it had just been on the news, they probably wouldn't have seen it because they don't really read the newspapers. And they also, like, I don't know, they don't really, like, watch the news so much. But it was, like, because I guess it would have been, like, either they would have heard it through, like, other people who did, watch the news. But that was interesting because we were saying, like, maybe that's kind of, like, a limitation. But it definitely was effective in getting, like, general word out, I think. I don't know.
Well, and I'm sorry.
Oh, I think the way that the media spins it encourages people to want to help us. Mm-hmm.
And I think in a way what you were saying earlier, that it's not just getting media attention, it's you were very, very, I think it's very unusual. It would be unusual no matter where you were that you happened to get this very intrepid young reporter who I mean, and it doesn't matter where you're, I spent 20 years as a journalist. It doesn't matter where you work. It's always in the records. So you know, she sort of was dogged, and she started adding two and two and tracking stuff down in a pretty systematic way. And I think that feels like luck to me that you just got somebody.
She was amazing. Wildfan was amazing, and Modern Express, and they were. I have to say they were really, really, really integral, and I definitely wouldn't have found these potential birth parents without them. And I think it may, yeah, I guess I didn't think about it before, but yeah, they kind of were a special case because they were really invested in it, and they kind of took, like, a couple days out of their lives to, like, really go investigate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, it's not like there's also their own professional self-interest. This is a hell of a story. She becomes a very key part of it, and that's fine. I mean, she's got a job to do too. And in this case, it seems like it happened to also, your interests coincided nicely, is I guess how it feels from the outside. So on the logistics front, are there specific logistical preparations that you wish you had made? Is there a hindsight thing that you've thought about? If we'd known this, we would have done this, or we wouldn't have done that, that you might want to share just for the benefit of others who will be embarking on searches themselves?
That's a hard question. Anything we would have done differently? I don't know. Can you think of anything?
I don't know. Can you think of that?
I mean, I think there was kind of a sort of, like, we just kind of had to let go of, like, not necessarily, like, what we wanted, but, like, nor what we expected, but just kind of let things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we had done so much planning, and then our plans kind of really changed mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. As far as preparations, I mean, just, like, you know, really knowing the information that you have already, and, like, maybe how, like, I don't know, you really have to think about it, like, in all ways, you know, like, whether it's true or whether it's not true.
I don't know if there's anything I would have done differently.
Yeah. I guess it's easy for me to say now that I sort of, like, most likely found them. But I don't think I would have done anything differently. I'm pretty pleased with how everything turned out. But I guess, like, you know, on preparation front, I think there definitely are. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. I think there definitely are ways that our story can help at other docus who are searching, and I would really, really love to help in any way I can with my experience. But I think I were also saying that, like, it's so difficult because it's so personal, it's so based on, like, your own circumstances that it's, you know, it just doesn't seem to make sense to take our, like, experience as, like, a step-by-step guide as to, like, how to find one's, like, birth parents. But I do think there are, like, some things, like, on the internet, sharing on the internet, the poster, and then, like, using the media is definitely, like, something that, like, steps that you could take. Where was I going with this? What was the other question?
I think just being prepared, like, to not be prepared is what we were saying.
Yeah, I think that's,
we weren't prepared. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
There's so much you can't prepare. And especially with us, it broke. It's just like everything happened so quickly. Like there was no time to be prepared. We were saying like prepared to feel totally unprepared.
Okay, so I love it. So there's a lot out there now about birth parent searching. You know, I mean, CCI is putting out a manual, and another, as an adoptive mother who's just posted a series of her suggested steps, et cetera, et cetera. And what your experience is really saying is, look, you know, there are some things that one can do and probably should do, but really the most important thing is stay open to whatever is going to come your way and recognize that there's a certain way in which a big, large way in which you sort of don't have any control over this.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. It sounds kind of cliche as well, but like, it's really more about the process of like, you know, deciding that this is what you want to do and then seeing what happens and then, you know, deciding what you want to do after it's over. Cause I mean, for me, I'm not going to dedicate that much more time to searching, I think, at all. So it's more about, like, you know, just how you want think about how you want the experience to be regardless of the results.
I think being open is an important part, like, being open to maybe, like, I think it is good to prepare about, like, what do you think you want out of this search, but I also think it might change during your search, and I think it's important to be open. Open to that, and not, you know,
So I think this is great because it's such good advice for most things in life, especially most major things in life, and it does force you to remember that if you get too wedded to the idea that you can control the outcome by taking a series of steps, things never really quite work out that way. So I wonder, the thing that does seem to me to be, I don't know, something that feels really real and visceral to me is the relationship between the two of you. You came into this, you had met in 2013. Willa, you said, oh, why don't we do this route trip together? Charlotte, you said, oh, okay, well, I've got a plane ticket. Why not? And now you've shared this profoundly intimate life experience. So what's it like between you two now? How would you characterize your friendship?
This is sort of a joke, but we should try and go on the Amazing Race. Have you heard of that show?
Yeah. I'm laughing.
Yeah. No, it's been really awesome. And we really didn't know each other that well, to be completely honest. I think, like, that trip really facilitated connections that, like, will definitely last. And we've talked a lot about, like, oh, remember when we were, you know, on the HTSCCI trip? So I think that trip has a lot to do with, you know, that we felt comfortable doing this trip. But yeah,
I know. It's crazy. I think we have, like, now we have a shared set of experiences that, like Will was saying, like, no one else will ever totally understand. Like, remember that time we were we were stuck on the mountains with a flat tire?
Or when it took 18 hours in a car to get from Altai to Ulmici when it probably could have taken 8.
Well, if you didn't kill each other then, you're probably friends for life.
Trip this summer, and I was just like, and I just happened to be here too, yeah. So it just, like, you know, worked out. But now I think, yeah, it's like another one of those twists of fate.
Yeah, and when like I had thought about traveling, like I wasn't even thinking of searching. Like, honestly, it was more about just, like, going to China, because I had never gone to my province, which is, you know, across the country from Beijing, where we were in 2013.
Mm-hmm. So what happens now? Charlotte, what are you going to be doing this semester? You're staying in China to do what?
So I will be in Taiwan, in Taipei, studying at the National Taiwan University on a fellowship, which is sort of what started a lot of it, because I was just in the area anyway, with some paid international airfare. So I'll be there studying Chinese, Mandarin, and Will is,
I'm going back to California tomorrow morning, and then going back to Davis by the end of the month, and I have some things for work and school to prepare for, and then I start my last year classes start September 21st.
Yeah, and I guess I just head back in September, in December. In December, I head back to the States, and that's my last semester at Yale.
So you're both in your senior year. Do you know what you want to do when you graduate? That's the hardest question.
Yeah.
not sure. That's okay, and I'm
grad school in my future. I don't know exactly when or where, but yeah,
great. I'm not putting you on the spot. I had no idea either, but I think I think you guys are off to a far better start than I certainly was way back when. So is there anything we haven't talked about that you feel like we should talk about, that you want to get out there?
I think one thing that we did touch upon, and that was advice given to me, was that it's really important to have, you know, a support system. And I think Charlotte and I are both pretty lucky that, you know, our families were really supportive, and there are people back in the U.S. that were really supportive. And just be prepared for, you know, to be unprepared.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to publicly say thanks to everyone who, you know, who was interested, who had questions, regardless of my capability to answer them. And, thanks to you for helping us document this, because that's been really helpful.
And I guess I would add, I think honestly, probably most helpful advice came from you, Will, when I was dealing with, like, the media storm, and I think I wrote about this in my final thing, like, I just felt like I was dealing with, like, so many different people and so many different feelings, and I think, you know, it is important to think about, like, all the other people that are involved, But ultimately, I think this is the adoptee's trip, this is my trip, and this was Willa's trip. And it's important to remember what do you want? What are your feelings? And don't totally get lost in what, like, everybody else is kind of, like, telling you should feel or you should do. Or, like, you know, what you, yeah, like, what everybody else is kind of, I mean, it's important to, like, get input and stuff, and I think input is very, very, very valuable. But in the end, it is the individual's trip.
Yeah.
I think that's really key, very, very wonderful and important advice to remember, because it can sometimes you can get so wrapped up in balancing everybody else's emotions that you kind of lose where you are. So I think on that note, I would like to thank you both profoundly for sharing this experience, for sharing it with Our China Stories, for letting me, a total stranger, in on this amazing experience. And I really fervently look forward to the day when I meet you both in person.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I want to echo what Will said, so thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And travel safe home, Willa and Charlotte.
Thanks.
Have a fantastic experience in Taipei.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.